You are tuning into the True North Church podcast. Our prayer is that you would be inspired and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True North Church, please visit us online at truenorthak.org.
Well, good morning. How's everyone doing today? Isn't it a great day to be alive? How many of you guys enjoy the warmer weather that came back? How many of you guys are like, next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 3 months? All those in favor say aye, keeping this weather. There's some of you don't have confidence in that. Man, my name is Mark, and we live stream our second gathering for those in correctional facilities, of those that just watch our live stream. Would you give it up for those who aren't here today, but they're watching, they're a part of True North, and so glad you're here. And next week, we have a special weekend. We've got 1,000 adult shirts we're giving away next week to celebrate a one-year anniversary in College Road. And we'll talk, you'll hear, if you're new to True North, you'll hear the vision of where we're going, how we're going to get there, and what that looks like. And we pour cement, our first wave of cement this Thursday on College Road. Foundations getting put in, footings, and we're excited about that. Hey, how many of you guys are excited about school starting this week? Okay, there should be more than three parents excited about school starting this week. Okay, I'd get it if you're a junior higher, like, no, I don't want school. But I'm excited. Things like, I don't know about you, I like the fall when things get back to routine. You know what I'm talking about? The yellow school buses go by, well, if they can find the drivers. Okay, we won't go there. But we're excited about that. But next week, again, we're invite some friends. It's going to be a fun celebration here and on College Road. If you haven't checked out our College Road venue yet, we have a second auditorium over there and full kids ministry, brand new building, remodeled. It's a beautiful place, and go check it out sometime. We're in a series called Major Lessons from the Minor Prophets, and we're in week 10. And we're in Zephaniah today. And if you've read Zephaniah, how many of you guys have read any of the Minor Prophets the last couple weeks in this series? And if you read Zephaniah this week, you're going to go like, I'm not sure if this is the same story with a different name on the top, because Obadiah sounds the same, and Nahum sounds the same, and Haggai sounds the same, and I think what happened, here's my Mark Zweifel, this could have happened, I think it might have, is when I think what happened is that the University of Israel, Jerusalem campus, there was Canon Bible Canon 101 class, and there's a couple really sharp students that lost their jump drive. And a couple of the lower grade students found the jump drive, put it in their computer, and thought, oh my goodness, the project's done. Let's change a little bit, turn it in, and see if anyone notices it. Okay, you guys are quiet today. I was like trying to, add a little humor here. But obviously, you guys didn't drink your cup of coffee this morning. So go to the cafe afterwards. No. If you read the book of Zephaniah, you realize it sounds a lot like the other books because it is a lot like the other books. And we're going to talk about that today, because why in the world, like you're reading, like, because there comes a time when you go, I've read it, and why in the world, is this needed to to say the same thing again and put a different person on top? And so what I want to look at today is I want to look at like what I call a 30,000-foot level, and then I want to break it down. And I want to look at some principles, because as we read Zephaniah today, you're going to go, it sounds like the other, and it does. But why? There's a ring up here. And so why? And so we're going to look at kind of the reason why I think God says the same thing over and over and over and over. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Zephaniah chapter 1. It'll be on the screen as well here, and let's read it. Again, I'm at 30,000 foot level in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and I'm going to give some application here. Chapter 1 is Zephaniah, verse 1 says, the word of the Lord came to Zephaniah, son of Cushi. Say Cushi. Now, I can't prove this, but I think somehow his wife was the editor for this book. And she was, I think that was her nickname for him. I don't know, okay? But the word of the Lord came to Zephaniah, son of Cushi, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amarii, the son of Hezekiah, during the reign of Josiah. Remember this. We're going to come back to Josiah. Josiah was an 8-year-old king when Zephaniah writes this. His father Ammon, it says the son of Ammon, king of Judah. Ammon passed away. His son was installed as king as an 8-year-old. Now, how many of you guys would like to have an 8-year-old king? How many of you guys would trust your house to an 8-year-old? Okay, exactly. And this is God's word through Zephaniah, son of Cushi. I will sweep away everything from the face of the earth. Now, I don't know if God has bad days. I don't think God does. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, okay? But we all, have anyone here ever had a bad day? Could you imagine? God's word through Zephaniah. Yeah, you better shape up because I'm going to come down there and sweep everything off the face of this earth. That's what it sounds like to me. And just so you understand what that means, declares the Lord, I will sweep away both man and beast. That means every kitty cat. That means every puppy, hamster. I will sweep away the birds in the sky and the fish of the sea and the idols that cause the wicked to stumble. In other words, God says, I'm going to come down and I'm going to sweep it. I'm going to do some house cleaning. Then it goes on. And it says, when I destroy all mankind, it's not like, in case you don't know what I mean by I sweep away every man and beast, when I destroy all mankind on the face of the earth, declares the Lord, I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all who live in Jerusalem. I will destroy every remnant of Baal worship in the place. The very names of the idolatrous priests I will destroy. Those who bow down to the roofs and worship the starry hosts. I'm going to destroy those. He said, and those who bow down and swear by the Lord and who also swear by Moloch. Now, who's Moloch? If you read the Old Testament, you'll see that there's a pagan worship where they would worship Moloch. Moloch was a stone god with arms that reached out like this and with a hole in his chest that would go down and there was a fire in Moloch's belly. And they would take their firstborn sons, put them on the arms of Moloch and push them down with a stick and burn them in a fire. So here's Israel. God goes, I'm going to sweep you. I'm going to destroy the wicked priests. I'm going to destroy those who worship Moloch. I'm going to destroy those who swear by God and by Moloch. And he says this, and those who turn their back from following the Lord and neither seek nor inquire of him. In other words, yes, there's people doing a bunch of wicked worship practices, but I also am kind of fed up with those who just don't even inquire of me anymore and worship me. And then chapter 2 goes on. And a little glimmer of hope. He says, gather together. In other words, hey, let's have a gathering and gather yourselves together. There's one thing to gather together. There's one other thing, gather yourself. Come on, pick yourself up by the bootstraps. You shameful nation, before the decrees take effect and that day passes like windblown chaff before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you. Before the days of the Lord's wrath comes upon you, he says, seek the Lord, all you humble of the land, you who do what he commands. Seek righteousness, seek humility. And then there's a word right there called what? Perhaps. Look at your neighbor and say, perhaps. Perhaps is like, hey, there's a chance things are going to change here. Perhaps. Yeah, you ever done that in your, like, you know, your kids, well, if you do that, perhaps. But perhaps, it goes on, perhaps you'll be sheltered on the day of the Lord's anger. And if you have a tree Bible, like you still have the paper one, circle that word perhaps. You know, highlight, gather together, humble, seek the Lord, perhaps. But perhaps God will relent. In other words, there's a chance this doesn't have to happen. And then chapter 3 tells us why, again, he's kind of, he's angry, or it seems like he's angry, and the voice of the prophet is coming through. In chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, again, 30,000 foot level, woe to the city of oppressors. And I don't know if, as we've read through the prophets, you've seen a trend, but God does not like it when cities oppress people. And there were, and so as we study the minor prophets, there's you see God's heart for those who have no voice, the widow, the orphan, the poor, the foreigner. He says, so God's got this chip on his shoulder toward those who oppress the voiceless. God has a heart in it. God has compassion. Woe to you, the city of oppressors. Woe to those who don't hear the oppression of the voiceless, rebellious, defiled. Woe to the city who obeys no one. You accept no correction. She does not trust the Lord. She does not draw near to God. And then in verse 7, it says this, O city of Jerusalem, I thought, surely you'll fear me and accept correction. Then her place of refuge should not be destroyed, no, all my punishments come upon her. But they were still eager to act corruptly in all they did. In other words, God says, you still haven't listened. Now, here's the thing. By the time Zephaniah shows up on the scene to preach, now, how many guys, you know, if you had to go hear Zephaniah preach every Sunday, you might not go back to that church. Sweep it all away. I'm going to start with everything. And if you don't know what everything means, every human being and every beast. If you know what that means, every bird of the sky and every fish, everything. In other words, Noah 2.0. I want flood 2.0 coming. God, that's where he's at this place. And he talks about the fact it's because Jerusalem, God's city, is corrupt. The worship practices, the priests, the idolatry, all of this stuff is in high. And he says, basically, you act corruptly. You don't do what I say. So here's the key. And today I kind of want to look at Zephaniah from a bigger picture and look at keys to reading and understanding Zephaniah and the prophets. Because when they start to sound the same, you're like, why is it in there again and again and again? So three things to take notes. Number one, understand that God is a father and at times has to say things more than once. Any parents in the house? I have 5 children. And yesterday, I actually took a picture yesterday because my oldest daughter was in town and my 3 oldest daughters were hanging out like they loved each other. And I thought, I always heard when they became older, they'd want to do that. And so yesterday I took a picture. I thought, oh, it's so fun that they actually like, they're not just acting like they like each other. They actually do like each other. And meanwhile, my younger kid's causing problems with his 13-year-old sister, but we won't go there. But how many have you ever had to say the same thing over and 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 over to your kids? Anyone here ever had to do that? And do you ever get to a place where you go, I swear if you make me get up from my chair right now, I will sweep you off the floor, out the door, and I will sweep your beasts, your animals, your puppies, your kitty's gonna be dead. You know what? We know God doesn't like cats. Because the Bible says that the devil's like a lion. That's a cat, okay? Don't judge me. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. But as parents, there's times, whether you're 5 or 85, how many times have our parents or we as parents had to repeat the same thing over and over and over? Well, why? Well, because I gave you a cell phone. That's why. Do the dish? I will. You wake up the next morning, the dishes aren't done. It's like, what? What? What do you mean you don't understand the dishes should be done before you go to bed? I don't care if Law and Order episode 39,000.1 was more important. It's, as parents, it's frustrating to have to repeat ourselves over and over, even though we know our kids know the rules. 238 years, 9 prophets later, and God's saying, I don't know why you haven't got it so far, but if I have to get up, I'm going to sweep you off the face of planet Earth. And you might think, well, wait a second here. Well, let's go. I'm going to walk through all these truths right now, okay? Because I think some of you are like, is God angry? No, God's not angry. He just has kids that don't listen. And I think if we understand as parents, so number 2, write this down. Understand a father's actions greatly depend on their kids' responses. A father's actions greatly depend on his kids' responses. There should have been one prophet. But God had to send another and another and another and another. Why? Because God has rebellious kids. God has kids that just don't they know the rules. God's people had the Ten Commandments. And how were they given the Ten Commandments? My goodness, Moses went up and there was fire and smoke. And I mean, it wasn't like, oh, maybe they knew that God gave Ten Commandments. I mean, God had a code of conduct for his people. He wanted the people for himself, that he would be their God and they would be his people. And yet he had to go over and over and say, guys, do you not get it? Do I have to remind you again to clean up your spiritual room? Do I have to remind you again you've got some dishes in your relationships that are dirty and you need to change how that looks? Do I have to remind you again, God's not an angry God when you read the prophets. Rather, it's a picture of God's people or God's kids not being very good at listening. And I don't think we've changed that much as God's kids. I still think we have a God who's never changed. And at times could go, man, is he mad at me? No, he's not mad at you. He just wants you to understand. And you might say, well, why? See, there's a difference between the law of the hammer and the law of the fire. My kids, we have a wood stove in our house now, but most of my kids grew up for years until the last year and a half, we have a house with a wood stove. But prior to that, we had no wood stove. In fact, we lived in Vegas. It was hotter outside than inside. You cooled your house. But my mom and dad always had a wood stove. That was the primary way we heated my house growing up. In the farmhouse that we were in, that was a wood stove, and that heated most of the house. And you put blankets on if you're cold beyond that, right? But when we took our oldest daughter Braxton, she was a newborn, to see Grandma and Grandpa, Grandma and Papa, and my mom would fly off the handle times, Braxton, don't go near that. I mean, it's like this little black thing she wasn't supposed to touch. It was a black box. And my mom would say, Braxton, don't. And then my wife and I would say, Braxton, don't touch. And she didn't always listen like some of y'all in here and your kids. And she'd crawl and get close to the wood stove. And one day, I remember my mom went over there, swooped, Braxton, don't touch. And my mom wasn't angry at Braxton. My mom knew that if Braxton touched that hot box, she would get what? Burned. It's a law of fire. Not like, oh, you touch that black box and I swear I'm going to come down and I'm going to burn your hand. I'm going to hit you with a sickle. Off goes your head. I'll sweep you away. No. The reason the prophet spoke was, there are things that God knows. If you keep walking down this path, it really is not good for you. You're going to get burned. You're going to get hurt. God's not in heaven going, oh, I sure hope they hurt themselves. In fact, here's a third point that I think is powerful to make at this point, and that's this. Our third principle is to understand God would rather celebrate you than correct you. God would rather celebrate you than correct you. The end of Zephaniah. Again, you've got chapter 1. Hey, Zephaniah, son of Cushi, I'm going to sweep you off the face of the earth. You're animals, you're birds. I'm going to destroy everything. And then he says this, the end of chapter 3. The Lord your God is with you. The mighty warrior who saves. How many want to know our God is a mighty warrior who saves? You know, I was riding a bike ride with some friends the other day, and they were talking about just verses of scripture we liked, and one of my friends, I was reading the Message translation, and there's a verse in there that says, God punches your enemies in their teeth. And I was like, oh, I want God to punch, never mind. The Lord, your God, is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. Some of you need to understand, we have a God who's with us, and he's a mighty Savior, and he will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but he will rejoice over you with singing. He doesn't want to sweep us off the face of the earth. He wants to celebrate us, not correct us or tolerate us. It's the God we serve. So if you read the Minor Prophets, you go, man, why is God so mad? He's not mad. Why are God's people so bad at listening? That's the big picture here. But remember when we read through Son of Cushi's prophecy, Zephaniah, and he talked about he reigned during Hezekiah and during Josiah, Ammon's son, remember that? I talked about, remember Josiah. I want to talk about Josiah because Josiah is alive as an 8-year-old king when Zephaniah is given this prophetic word over Jerusalem and over Judea, which God wants to sweep them off the face of the earth. God wants to destroy them because they had taken worship. They kind of had an eclectic worship style. They worshiped Yahweh as God, but they worshiped Baal. They worshiped Moloch. They had Asherah poles. They had just, in that culture, you know what they'd done inside the temple? They actually had built booths for prostitutes to be. And I don't know if they're trying to figure out how to establish a stronger men's attendance pattern at church. But there was prostitution booths, and there was, you know, they were to worship. They worshiped all. There was not a problem of worship. It was the type of worship that was a problem. And here's Josiah, and I want to talk about, because God said, gather yourself together. Gather. Humble yourself. Seek me, and perhaps I don't have to do what I... If you listen, there's a different outcome. So Josiah is the king who got it right. I want to read about Josiah because it's this contemporary. It's the same time as Zephaniah preached. Josiah chapter 22 of 2 Kings verse 1 said Josiah was 8 years old. How many of you guys would want to give an 8-year-old the reins of your government? I don't want to give the 8-year-old the reins of my house. Josiah was 8 years old when he became the king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. Talk about a tough job. His mother's name was Jedidiah. Say Jedidiah. Now, I just want to pause here. If you're a single mom, look at me. Jedidiah was a single mom. Her husband, Ammon, was a poor leader, a godless man, and Jedidiah put her fingerprints in an 8-year-old's mind. And I'll tell you right now, you read the story of Josiah, there's proof. The single moms are superheroes. Single dads are superheroes. You guys don't give up. So here's Jedidiah, a single mom, daughter of Adadiah. She was from Bozkath. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David. Doesn't say completely the ways of his biological father Ammon or his biological grandfather Manasseh, which tells me you can come from a really poor home or difficult past, but God can change history. Do you understand, as parents, you still have more influence over your children than you think you do? If you're a single parent, I'll tell you right now, here's proof. That here's a single mom who raised a boy. 400 years earlier, there's a man named David. But Josiah so modeled and looked like David that he didn't say his father was Ammon. When it was written, it says this. It says he completely followed the ways of David, not turning to the right side or to the left. The deck was stacked against this kid in a single family home in a day and age where the world said, you can do what you want. The church was watered down. Jedidiah had lost her husband, was given an 8-year-old boy, but she changed the pattern of a family. Perhaps. Jedidiah raised a boy in a single family home to do what was right. He followed God like David, didn't turn to the right or to the left. And we know this as we read chapter 22. We know that at some point, he opened the royal treasuries up and said, remodel the temple. And in verse 8, it says this. Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the secretary, I found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord, which scares me to death that the priest couldn't even find the book of the law or the Bible in the temple prior to this. Friends, we're a Bible church, and I'll tell you right now, The Bible will be found on Sunday mornings and Wednesday night at True North Church because that's all we've got. Take our Bible away, we'll shut the doors of this place. There's nothing else to preach, I'm sorry. Opinions won't change our culture or world or raise up single moms and single dads or families to raise godly kids. Hilkiah was the high priest, said to Shaphan the second, I found the book of the law in the temple. They gave it to Shaphan, who read it. And then Shaphan, the secretary, went to the king and reported to him, your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord, and they've entrusted it to the workers and the supervisors of the temple. Then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, Hilkiah, the priest has given me a book, and Shaphan read it in the presence of the king. In other words, Josiah, Shaphan, the secretary, read the book to Josiah, and when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes, which was an act of humility. He got to a place where he heard the word of God and he humbled himself. He tore his robes. He's going, oh my gosh, we're not living what we're supposed to live. This book was hidden. And there's some of us, it might be good if you go home and brush the dust off and find your book. They were shocked they found the Bible in the church. And Josiah sends them to inquire of the prophet, what does this mean? So the priest and his buddies find a woman, a prophetess named Huldah, and she says, God wants to let you know that he's going to bring judgment upon Judah as he's promised. And he says this in verse number 18, tell the king of Judah, that's Josiah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, me, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning his words you heard. Because your heart was responsive. Say responsive. Hey, remember, father's heart, daddy's heart is based upon the response of the kids. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard what you're spoken against this place and its people, that you'd become a curse and be laid to waste, and because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I've also heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you and your ancestors, and will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I'm going to bring on this place. In other words, you won't see me sweep it away. You won't see me destroy it. You won't. So they took the answer back to the kings. What we read right here is the perhaps of Zephaniah. Perhaps. See, here's the reality. When you read the context of the law and the prophets and the Old Testament and the New Testament, there is a response that God's people, the hearers, at some point you have to say, do I receive this or do I simply hear it and reject it again? It's the perhaps. See, God wanted relationship, not discipline. God wants to celebrate, not to correct, just like we want to celebrate our kids and not always correct them. Chapter 23 shows you what the perhaps did for Josiah. Josiah was so transformed in his humility. He saw what he heard, and so he tore down the booths the prostitutes were in inside the temple when they came to sex at the place of worship. Josiah cleaned house. He read for the book of the covenant, renewed the covenant between God and his people. The Bible says Josiah went on a rampage. He started to destroy every pagan thing that was in the temple, the shrines to Baal, Moloch, Asherah. The prostitution booths were destroyed. Everything that was dedicated to idols in the temple was destroyed. He went on to and did this throughout the entire land, every home, every high place, any place that had a vestige of worship to another god, he destroyed it. The Bible says he burned all of them. He also burned the priests of these pagan gods on the altars of their worship. He cleansed the land, every valley, every hilltop, every place that had an idol. And it says this in verse 25 of chapter 23, neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did with all his heart, with all his soul, and all his strength in accordance with the law of Moses. Here's someone who heard God's word and he did it. But why does God have to repeat himself over and over and over and over and over? Because he's a dad who wants his people to hear. And he's a dad who wants his people to respond. The perhaps of Zephaniah is found in the reign of Josiah, who loved the Lord of God with all his heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And isn't that not what God has asked of us to do? What's the greatest commandment? As the Pharisees were trying to catch Jesus in some. What's the greatest commandment? Of all the commandments, what's the greatest? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love your what? Your neighbor as yourself. And all the law and all the prophets are summed up on those two thoughts. Love God and love people. Now, I kind of want to wrap this up here with major lessons we learned from the kings, King Josiah and the prophets. I get a little broader, not so much just on Zephaniah today, but a little broader. Number one, worship without obedience is worthless. It wasn't a worship problem these people had. They worshiped a lot of things. But God doesn't want worship if he doesn't have obedience. And we live in a culture that many people pick a church based upon if they like the worship. The song selection, the style, I feel God in the worship. And God goes, here's my heart. I don't think God cares how high we jump inside a church building. He wants to know how straight we walk when we leave. It's not worship without obedience. They had worship of Baal. They had worship of astral poles. They had prostitution, sex gods. They had all this stuff. They worshiped Moloch. They had lots of avenues of worship. But he goes, I don't want your worthless worship style. I want your life to be transformed, and I want something to change inside your heart. Love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. That's what I want. Josiah showed us that. The temple was being used, but there was no obedience. Worship without obedience is worthless. It doesn't matter how high we lift our hands if these hands here don't do what God wants us to do on a weekly basis. Number two, fight to keep good things from becoming God things. Fight from keeping good things. God's people were blessed. God's people were wealthy. God's people had means. When you live godly lifestyles, guess what? You're not spending your income on stuff that pagans were spending their income on. In fact, they went through a year. I took a sociology class and it talked about, there's three sociologists from USC who thought they'd go around the world to find pockets of civilization that was thriving. At the center, and so they weren't even godly people. They were just going over there, and they would find these places which were thriving. At the center of those thriving places was always a strong church. Because when someone's life is transformed, and they get rid of what used to be, they used to spend their money maybe on drugs or on alcohol or other things, and then they settle down and they begin to make a priority of being good parents and things like that. They saw that not just only did the health of the home become stronger, but at the center of it was a strong local church. Well, God's people felt the same way. They were led out of bondage, and they were led into what? A promised land with what? With milk and honey, and they begin to prosper because how many want to know when God's hand is on you, there's blessing. But over time, the good things God gives people, they start to think, well, I've still got the good things. I must still be blessed. But here's the deal. Good things are not always God things. And in their culture, they were blessed and they had wealth and they had all that. But you know what? They saw that as God's hand of blessing on their life. But the reality is God was going, wait a second here. You've made that as important as having a relationship with me. God doesn't want, he doesn't want to just give us good stuff so we can feel good about him. He wants us to put nothing ahead of him. He wants to be first. And number three, just 5 degrees off gets you far away from where you want to be. And I know I live stream this gather, so I have to be careful because I don't want everyone to walk out. I don't typically brag about myself, but I'm the best bowler in town. Did you know that? And if you think you're a good bowler, I'll bowl against you anytime. And I can bowl a 300 every time I bowl. Did you know that? If people knew about that, I'd probably be wearing bowling gear up here right now. They would just like, I'm surprised I don't have my bowling glove. No, whatever that's called. I found that if I stand 3 feet from the pins, I can bowl a 300 every time. But I'll tell you right now, I realize if I bowl the way most of us bowl and I have to stand at, like, at the starting line and not the finish line, my bowling score goes down the farther I get from the pins. How many of you guys have found that out? So maybe there's some other 300 bowlers in here, you just didn't know it yet. But here's what I know. The farther you get away from the pins, error increases with distance. But 5 degrees off now, over a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, over a time, guess what? It can. And so my wife and I, and I'll let you know on a little journey, we're taking an emergency foster care 6-year-old boy in tomorrow in our house. And I'm a little scared to death in some respects. But we sat down last week in with our daughters and our son, and we said, guys, you know, we can be a little off. We kind of know each other. But we're taking someone else into our home that doesn't know us. And so we have to be careful. There's times we get, you know, we can raise our voice to each other a little bit when we're frustrated. But we know this young boy's come from some trauma and some violence. And so we have to be careful. And there's 5 degrees off doesn't mean a whole, doesn't change as much when we're in our little home, but you bring someone out. And so we just talked about, and it was for us another perhaps moment to look and go, is there something in our life that we kind of got to recalibrate? See, 5 degrees off from San Diego to New York means you land in Boston, 230 miles away. 5 degrees off from San Diego to Budapest, Hungary, and you end 1,000 miles off and you end up in Athens, Greece, way far away from Budapest. Is there any place in us? The Israelites at some point, well, yeah, we'll just add Baal worship. We'll add a little of that over here, a little of that, you know. I mean, we still got God's blessing. Look at our finances. Look at our bank account. We're doing good. 5 degrees off gets you far away from where you want to be if distance and time is added. So what's your perhaps moment? I wonder if God would call any of us in this room to a perhaps moment. Something where we say, I got to recalibrate some stuff. I got to humble myself. Maybe dad's been talking to you for a while. Hey, change this. Change this in the relationships. Change your attitude to your spouse. Change this in your personal lifestyle and things you choose to do on the side over here. Maybe the father's been saying it for a while, and Father God's been going, how many times do I have to tell him, change it, change it, change it, change it, until a Josiah comes along and says, perhaps now's my moment. I got to tweak some things. Now, maybe you're here today and you're far from God. I don't know your stories. I don't know. I know some of you. I don't know all of you. I don't know if you just came here today because you're looking for hope. You hit the rock bottom and you're like, I need to get some things figured out. Or if you're here because you lost a bet and someone said, you got to come. Or you're here because someone had a birthday and they said, come. I don't know why. Maybe you're here today. And I would think it's bigger than that. I think it's because God's been trying to get your attention for a long time. But maybe you're here today and you're far from God. You're outside of a relationship with Jesus, or you used to serve him, but you backslid. I don't know your story, but you're here today and you want to be in a right relationship with Jesus. It begins with what our kids are going to learn in first grade in a couple days around our city. It starts with the ABCs. A, admit you sin. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. B, believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And C, confess Jesus as the Lord of your life. You're here today, you've never made that commitment to serve Jesus, to admit, believe, and confess. I'd like to pray with you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes all across this room if you're watching online as well? Just pray this prayer as I prayed out loud. Dear Jesus, today I admit I've sinned. And I believe you died on the cross to forgive me, so please forgive me today. Please be my Savior and my life leader and help me serve you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
What a fantastic service. Be sure to stay in touch by following us on social media so you can stay up to date with all that is happening at True North Church.